Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer.
Amen.
There was a scene in Downton Abbey. You might remember the wildly successful British import about life in the country manor and the servants and the gentry and lords and ladies and all of that stuff. There was a scene, there were many scenes that were wonderful. This one occurred because, as I recall, it was the convergence of Christmas Day and Sunday, I think, in the life of Lord and Lady Grantham. And this posed a challenge because, you see, they ran the place for this army of servants who got a day off now and again, but not necessarily Christmas Day and Sunday when they collided. You know, they had to get up and stoke the fires and brew the tea and poach the eggs and, you know, just kind of make the lady and lordship's life just wonderful and without stress. And the issue was, well, they usually gave time off on Christmas, so how are they going to do it this year? How are they going to arrange all this? Because, God forbid, they have to go down to the kitchen themselves and boil their own eggs. This was a problem. And so finally, the Lord and Lady were very much in favor of, oh, we'll give them at least a morning off in the afternoon. A couple of the children were not so happy about this, but the Lord and Lady prevailed. And the servants got their morning off to just open their own presents and be with themselves and enjoy Christmas Day. A hard-fought battle for a little bit of Sabbath. I think it's safe to say that the Christian Sabbath has diverged considerably from the original concept of the Jewish Sabbath, which we have set forth in Deuteronomy this morning. The seventh day has shifted really for Christians to the first day of the week. In the numbering and the ordering of the day, Saturday remains the Jewish Sabbath, but our Sabbath has shifted to Sundays. And that's largely because, obviously, we are Christians, and the Easter event, the magnetic force that carries that, gathers us for worship and commemoration on Sundays, although there's evidence that the early Christians actually met on Saturday evening to have their worship, because they continued that connection with their Saturday Sabbath, and then later on Sundays came to be observed. So it didn't take long over time for the idea of the Christian Sabbath to be less about rest and more about worship. That Sunday was set aside for the Eucharist, weekly celebration, echoes of Easter, do this in remembrance of me. Even if the form of the service was often not Holy Communion, for Christians the point of the Sabbath was together on Sunday. Puritan New England, of which I have some familiarity, Puritan New England had strict Sunday observance. No work was done, but everyone was expected, except for illness, to be in church. And this was enforced by the local constabulary who went around and checked. And you were in church all day. You were there in the morning, you broke for a bit of lunch, you came back in the afternoon, and sermons were a good 1 to 2 hours long at both occasions. So if that doesn't make you leap for joy, that you can be in an hour, I don't know what will work. So the conflict with the Pharisees was, in essence, over this tension, the conflict that's so beautifully set forth in Mark's Gospel. Is the Sabbath only for the cessation from work? Or is it a day devoted to worship and the refreshment of spiritual and, as far as Jesus was concerned, physical work? That's the conflict. 2,000 years later, we still have that challenge, but it was particularly acute in Jesus' time. And the Pharisees, as you probably guessed, were very much on the law and order side of the Sabbath, and that the Sabbath rules had to be strictly followed. So the disciples are plucking. Notice it doesn't say initially they're eating. They're plucking heads of grain as they pass through the field on the Sabbath. That is doing physical work. They're moving, they're exerting themselves in a physical kind of way. Work is forbidden on the Sabbath, even though eating and food are not forbidden. because that is the same life. And so the reason that work could be done on the Sabbath was, in fact, to save life, and Jesus is absolutely correct when he confronts them. The rabbis taught that if your ox has fallen in the well on the Sabbath, rescue it. Don't wait till Monday or Sunday. Go get your ox out of that well. To save life was imperative. And saving life is the indirect result of the second encounter, where Jesus heals the man's hand. Yes, he performs a miracle on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees, as far as they're concerned, is violation number two, because he has done work. But Jesus restores the man's ability to feed himself, which is why he's connected with plucking the grains of wheat. That's why the stories are brought together. And perhaps as he left the synagogue, he did take a little detour through that field and perhaps plucked some heads of grain of his own with his healed hand that he could now eat. The Sabbath command, the fourth of the great Ten Commandments, set the Jewish people apart from the cultures around them. When they were in their exile in Babylonia, in the 6th and 5th centuries B.C., they did pick up the idea of the seven-day week, and that became their calendar, and then that also is picked up in the Genesis story, the first creation story. But the setting apart of the seventh day is that addition to the story. It is their unique cultural development. They now have captured the sense that time is made holy by sanctifying the Sabbath. It creates a special day out of the seven. The other six can be more or less alike. The Sabbath day is set aside by God's command. And so all days are no longer just the same. Every seventh day is special, holy, and a day of universal rest. Universal rest. The first recorded labor regulation that applies to everyone. It starts with individuals, then families, then children, then servants and slaves, male and female, animals, visitors, guests, non-Jews and Gentiles alike. All must observe the Sabbath. One of my organists back in New Hampshire had been a chaplain's assistant, actually, in World War II. So he was very much involved in the cycle of Sabbath in church. And one day he mentioned he was having some out-of-town guests come for the weekend. And I said, how is that going to interrupt your time with them, having to come and play church on Sunday? He said, No, it doesn't interrupt my time. He said, when I have guests in my home, I remind them that I will be going to church on Sunday, and I leave a note for them on the dining room table. The orange juice is ready, there are muffins in the fridge, and the bananas are on the counter. Help yourself. I'll see you after my Sabbath time at church. Ah, yes. How to do it in political law. So the Jews are commanded to never forget that they were slaves. Always remember this, and remember to keep the Sabbath holy, says God, because you were slaves in Egypt with no control over your working lives. I rescued you. Don't forget that, and make sure to extend Sabbath rest to all. I think we can agree that there's been a great erosion of Sabbath observance. You can see it more recently. It's probably been slipping and sliding for quite a while, but boy, has it become a challenge now. And especially, I think, for Christians, because our Sabbath remains Sunday, and Sunday, all Sundays are mini Easters, and we are here for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, but much of the rest of American culture is not. And it's also, I think, difficult for our Jewish brothers and sisters. Not a new challenge. After all, they have had to accommodate their Saturday Sabbath observance with the accommodations that they made for our secular culture that continues to move along. But for a long time, Christian cultural domination, or maybe we'd better call it hegemony, ensured a quieter Sunday for many. I mean, it has probably never been true that everybody could be home on Sunday and all work stopped and there was nothing going on. I think that's not actually a realistic picture. We always have had to have people in jobs that are important. Transportation, safety, healthcare, those jobs continue, which is why we remember them at high holy days of the year. But there was a time when manufacturing ceased on Sunday and most commercial ventures were closed, and my goodness, if you didn't get money out of the bank on Friday, you were in tough shape because there was no ATM and you had to wait till Monday. You know, there was that. I grew up in Portland, Maine. Some 55, 60 years ago, gracious, I had to do the math there for a moment. And when you got up on Sunday morning, it was quiet. I mean, there wasn't a car on the road, and God forbid you tried to mow your lawn before noon. I mean, it was a different world. It was a quieter world. You knew immediately it was Sunday. It was that quiet. But as much as it is possible for many people, Sunday is a day of rest. It was different then. It is certainly different now. And the problem with our 24/7 world that we now inhabit is that each day starts to look more like all the other days. Blessed are we get to enjoy a Sunday morning, but other people do not. Nearly everything we want to do or think we have to do is available all the time. Oh yes, there are some enterprises closed on Sunday, chiefly maybe white-collar jobs and specialty services, but many, many people work. Many, many people are not able to rest. And the important thing is there's no Sabbath relaxation or getting away from the constant bombardment of news and media and all the things that could just wait for 24 hours until Monday. It is not an easy situation to solve and a difficult one to untangle. But if we get Sunday time, Sabbath time, I think we are lucky to have it. And promoting more of that with family and friends would be a good place to start. So let us harken back to the words of the book of Deuteronomy. Observe the Sabbath and keep it holy. Maybe another day of the week you'll have to work, but find a Sabbath day to keep it holy. And remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. A gift for all of God's children to enjoy and to seek and to know and to love. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer.